This is BBC Radio 4.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Wars fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome all our many listeners from around the world and also introduce the four exciting and talented people who are going to play Just a Minute this week. We have four wonderful exponents of the art of comedy drawn from the great pantheon of British comedy talent that's available in our country at the present moment. One of the outstanding exponents and the most individual comedy performer, Paul Merton. A most original and witty comedy performer, Peter Jones. A most charming, delightful and delectable comedienne, Maria McCurlane. And a strong, forceful comic performer, Stephen Frost. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Helen Williams, who's going to help me keep the score. She's going to run the stopwatch for me and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. So, as usual, I'm going to ask our four players of the game to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And we begin the show this week with Stephen Frost. Stephen, the subject is first words. Would you take that subject any way you wish? 60 seconds are available, starting now.
I think most parents in the world can't wait to hear the first words of their offspring. Will it be mama or dada? Perhaps, oh, in the case of Romulus and Remus. But of course...
Peter Jones challenge.
Well, some idiot is bound to complain that you said ma twice when you said mama.
Mama. Mama. M-O-M-A. Mama.
No, I think it was mama.
And what about dada?
Yeah, you got me there. Yeah.
Why don't you say mama again?
So, Stephen, you get a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject. 48 seconds are available. First words, starting now.
The first words that were spoken when I were born was the doctor saying, "Stop joking, where's the baby?" My mother wasn't...
Maria, challenge.
It should be I was born, not I were born.
I were born in Somerset.
Oh.
I were?
You see, Maria, it does depend which part of the country you were born in, doesn't it?
No, it's
the way you interpret it. Yes, that is perceived English and correct English, and of course, maybe you got that reaction because we are in a university town of Loughborough, and I'm a lot of English students from Loughborough University here in the audience. But I must agree with you, Stephen, they do handle language differently in different parts of the country, and those who live down in Gloucestershire, where I live, they do talk, well, we were born down there. There are 42 seconds left on first words, starting now.
My first words on the professional stage were, "Thou nature art my goddess, to thy law my services are bound. Wherefore should I stand in the plague of custom and permit the curiosity of nations to deprive me for that I am to 12 or 14 moonshines, lad of a brother? Wherefore base?"
God, have you done your edition
Edmund
for the
King Lear?
I know. Maria challenged, and what was the challenge, Maria?
Blatant showing off.
But you can show off as much as you like in Just a Minute, as long as you don't deviate, hesitate, or repeat anything. He might have done that, but that wasn't your challenge. So, Stephen, we're still with you on first words, and there's still 30 seconds to go, starting now.
The first words of President Mitterrand were "Bonjour," when he bumped into me in a Paris street. They weren't his original first words, but it's the first ones I heard him say. And, of course, I was very impressed. Of course, he's dead now.
Maria, challenge.
Of course.
Of course. Of course, yes. That is repetition.
No, it's a French... Of course. It's another word for street. Rue. Course. I was on the course where I bumped into...
Sorry, I made a mistake.
Stephen, a few weeks ago, you were on the show and you were sort of feeling your way because you weren't so confident in Just a Minute because you haven't played it much, but now you're getting carried away. Maria, you had a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You have 18 seconds to tell us something about first words, starting now.
The first words I ever heard my grandmother say to me were, "Don't put anything in your mouth unless it's been boiled." These indeed were very fine words of advice.
Oh, Archer. Well, Chairman's slightly hysterical. After some of the things Maria said when she was here a few weeks back, I must say. Paul, you challenged. What was your challenge?
Well, what about toast?
Paul, actually, we love the challenge, so we give you a bonus point for that. But Maria wasn't actually deviating from the rules of just a minute. So she still keeps the subject and gets a point for being interrupted. And she has 1 second left on first words, starting now.
Mother!
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Maria McCullin, who you won't be surprised to hear has got the lead at the end of the round. And Maria, to your turn, the subject, how people misunderstand me. We didn't think of that subject, by the way, after some of the things you said last time you were with us in Just a Minute in Leicester.
When was that, Nicholas?
Oh, a few weeks back. I mean,
how amazing that exactly the same people came again
and sat in the same seats.
Maria, how people misunderstand me, 60 seconds starting now.
How people misunderstand me is a phrase I rarely have to use.
Stephen Chow.
So I don't get what you're saying, what? I don't quite...
Sorry, Stephen, is it something deeper?
A joke. Did it go over your head, Nicholas?
Yeah. Maria, you were interrupted, so you have a point for that. You keep the subject. How people misunderstand me, 56 seconds starting now.
This direct approach has lost me many friends. You look fat in that. Your haircut is ridiculous, or is a miniskirt wise for a woman over 40 with cellulite, have all been remarks used from my vast repertoire.
Peter Jones challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, well done, Peter. Right. You have the subject of how people misunderstand me. 38 seconds, Peter, starting now.
I said to my daughter a few weeks before Christmas, there are two photographs on my desk of rather loose women who are not very well dressed, and I'm keeping them for a particular reason. I took them from a telephone kiosk near Oxford Street. And she said, but why did you take them from a telephone box? I said, because they were there. And she said, no, you could have got them from somewhere else, couldn't you? Or stood outside and used a camera to focus on the people that you wanted to, from away from the kiosk. And it was some time before I was able to get this over to her. She misunderstood completely. I took them so that I could send them to two friends as Christmas cards.
That is what is called comedy timing, keeping going and giving the payoff as the whistle goes. You gain an extra point for doing so, Peter. You kept going magnificently with a story which was so involuted, we didn't know where it was going, but we loved it. And you have 2 points, the only two you've got so far, but they are very precious. Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, entrepreneurs. Tell us something about those people in this game, starting now.
Richard Branson comes to mind immediately. But an entrepreneur is someone who has a wonderful idea and is able to persuade other people to carry it out and carry it through.
And Stephen Charles.
Two carries.
There's too much carrying there, I'm afraid, Peter. Yes. So Stephen's got in with 48 seconds on entrepreneurs, starting now.
Entrepreneur is obviously based on a French word, entre, to go in, and preneur, to do something. So obviously you have to go into somewhere to create this situation, and that's where it all started. In 1066, William the Conqueror...
It's quite erroneous. To go in to do something, it could be a pissoir in the middle of Paris.
Somebody had to think of that pissoir and design it. That was an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur.
I
think the man who wrote Clochemel, who described it, he was a bit of an entrepreneur, but a literary one of that nature. Peter, I agree about 10-6. He was deviating from entrepreneurs. So 35 seconds with you on entrepreneurs, starting now.
And then if the people that are chosen...
And Paul Challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, you said people before. I'm afraid you did. Yes, Peter. Yes. 31 seconds with you, Paul. Entrepreneurs, starting now.
Well, I suppose entrepreneurs, as Peter said, are people who have ideas and then get other people to carry them out.
And Peter Challenge.
Yes, Dan. Well,
just copying exactly what you said.
including repetition.
Is that a yes? Copy it word for word. The repetition. So
I thought for years he's been using my material.
Peter gets a bonus point for his remark. He gets a point for a correct challenge. He takes over the subject of entrepreneurs. 24 seconds starting now.
Sometimes the entrepreneur will reward all those labourers who have got behind the idea and managed to make it work. Sometimes they're mean and they don't reward the...
Paul Thomas.
Repetition of reward.
There was reward before.
Was there?
Yes, I'm afraid there was. So 10 seconds for you to take over Peter Jones's material. On entrepreneurs, Paul, starting now.
I remember I was stationed in Didcot during the war, and my next-door neighbour was a...
Peter Jones, the challenge.
He couldn't be stationed during the war. He wasn't old enough to be stationed.
I was quoting from your autobiography.
A bonus point to Paul Merton, because that was a very amusing as well as a clever remark. And Peter, it was a correct challenge you had, so you get another point. You take back the subject.
I didn't say which war. It could have been the Falklands.
It was too late now.
They didn't station people in Didcot in order to have them ready to go to the Falklands.
Peter, you have another point, and you have the 5 seconds available. Keep going. Entrepreneurs, starting now.
I could count the number of entrepreneurs on 5 fingers who have made a considerable difference.
Well, it is very unusual, in just a minute, for somebody to be fourth in the point system and leap from the back, as you might say, and gained so many points in one round, including from one speed the whistle went, that he has gone forward into the lead. And that is Peter Jones, who is now alongside Stephen Frost. Maria McCurlane, your turn to begin. The subject, man-made fibres. Tell us something about that interesting or boring subject, according to your particular proclivities, starting now.
Polypropylene, elastane, lycra, acrylic are all names of the ice warriors on ITV's game show of the same name. They are also, coincidentally, man-made fibres. Not good for sweating or glowing, in my particular case, in. We all thought they were labour-saving and innovative at the time, which was the late 60s, early 70s. Now we know them to be stinky, smelly, and rather crap. However, cotton, linen, and wool are all natural fibres, much nicer to wear, much cleaner.
Much, too much. But it was very interesting, I must say. Audience were... I mean, all those students from Loughborough University were fascinated of that piece of information that you gave them. They obviously weren't. I've said the wrong thing.
I think they were just marvelling at how you were patronising me there, Nick.
No, they would never do that because I would never patronise you. Far too attractive to be patronised. Paul, you had a correct challenge, a repetition of much. 22 seconds are available. Man-made fibres, starting now.
When I see the phrase man-made fibres, I immediately think, is this a newspaper headline? Man-made fibres. Or is it a bit like chicken fried rice? Is that a dish? Or is it something that a bird actually did? Did it get it down to Uncle Ben's, empty it into a saucepan, put it on a low flame, and then, there we are, I've cooked you a meal. But no, that isn't the case at all. Man-made fibres, nylon sheets, they're terrible.
Paul we'll move forward then. Also, speaking as the whistle went, gain that extra point. He's just one ahead of Peter Jones and Stephen Frost, and Maria is just a little way behind the other three. Only in points, though, but she's way ahead in all other things. Paul, your turn to begin. The Shires. Oh, yes, we're in Leicestershire at the moment. 60 seconds starting now.
Well, they're big horses with hairy feet, often employed by brewers to drag wagons of beer around the capital city of London. I often see them going round the Wandsworth Way, these huge, mighty animals. I don't know why they're called Shire horses. I suppose they must come...
Stephen Challenge.
Two horses, repetition of horses there. Shy horses and yeah. Big horses.
And he had the horses at the beginning, didn't he? Right, yes. Didn't have them, but he mentioned it. I'm sorry. You're getting carried away. 42 seconds available for you, Stephen, on the Shires starting now.
If you walked into the Bull in Ambridge and ordered a pint of Shires, you would receive the finest pint of ale you could possibly get.
Paul Challenge.
No, you wouldn't. It's a fictional village.
That's a very difficult challenge on which to make a decision.
What, you think it's real?
No. Well, most people do believe that Ambridge is... I don't want to...
You phone up Eddie Grundy, he'll tell you.
But actually, if we want to be factual, and it's a good, probably a challenge, so Paul, I must be fair, say you have a correct challenge, 34 seconds, on the Shires, starting now. Stephen, you
hesitation.
Challenge. Yes.
I'd said everything I knew about them last time.
Oh, so it wasn't that you misunderstood me, you didn't actually speak up deliberately?
No.
Are you playing games with me, Paul?
Yes.
Right. Do you want to take the subject or not?
No, I don't.
You don't? Well, then Stephen had a correct challenge. He gets another point. He's forging ahead. 35 seconds, the Shires starting now.
We had a very well-spoken gym master at school. He would say, after the game, get into the Shires, will you all? Of course we did. He reminded me a bit of Terry Thomas, who used to say, you absolute Shire as well. Of course, we always took the mickey out of him because of his accent in the Shires with him. We used to make him take...
Peter Challenge.
Repetition of Shires.
Yes. Agree with you, Peter. The subject is Shires, or the Shires, and he says Shires, yes. Right, now, Peter, you have 14 seconds on the Shires, with another point, of course, starting now.
We have a lot of them in England, Shires. The name of the Shire is usually...
Maria, do you challenge?
Progressive hesitation.
Don't rub it in. It was hesitation. 7 seconds on the Shires with you, Maria, starting now.
Buckinghamshire, Oxfordshire, Hemel Hempsteadshire.
Peter, yes.
Yes,
yes.
Erroneous.
Erroneous, Hemel Hempsteadshire, yes.
Rubbish.
Rubbish. We have many shires, but not Hemel Hempsteadshire. Right, 1 second. Peter, you've got in cleverly with 1 second to go on the shires starting now.
The pearl of them all is Shropshire.
At the end of that round, Peter Jones has leapt forward again. Well, I said leapt forward, he's moved forward. He's inched forward, actually, because he's one ahead of Paul Merton and Stephen Frost, who are equal in second place, and then Maria McCurlain. Stephen Frost, your turn to begin. The subject is shambles, something that regularly happens on Just a Minute, but talk on the subject, if you can, starting now.
I was once walking through an area in Glasgow called the Shambles. It's just south of the Gorbals, if you don't know where it is. And unfortunately, it is a shambles. There are dead dogs in the street, lampposts that don't work, and holes in the road. A complete and utter shambles. The Gorbals, on the other hand, is much nicer. The lighting in the street...
Peter, you challenged.
Yes. He was talking about the Gorbals instead of the shambles.
Right. He repeated shambles. Gorbals.
Yes,
he did. Indeed, yes.
Okay. Quite a lot of
gold. Yes, there's a lot of gold.
Yes.
And as I come from Glasgow, I don't know any place called the Shambles. I think you are having us all on there. It was a nice bit of fiction. Right. The Shambles did not exist, seriously, the Gobbles.
What part of Glasgow is that? Dublin?
There's
a doctor in the house. It's a wee bit of a Scottish education for them all. Right.
The Goebbels, he repeated, Peter. You listened well.
Yes.
And you came in. With 39 seconds to go, starting now.
Shambles used to be the word to describe the slaughterhouse or abattoir, because there were always bits of animals all over the place, blood on the floor and an absolute chaotic mess.
Stephen's
fine. Exactly what I said. That's what it's called, the shambles in Glasgow. They dogs all over the place. That's what I said. He's just doing my material now.
No, he wasn't, because his was an abattoir, yours was south of the Gorbals. Utterly different. Okay. Yours was fiction and his was real. And so, Peter, you have another incorrect challenge against you. Another point and 26 seconds. Shambles starting now.
Because it was such a mess, it is often used to describe what happens when a television show goes wrong, or even a stage play. The actors say it was a shambles. And, of course, they are not referring to the abattoir or the real red stuff on the floor.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of abattoir.
We had the abattoir before.
Yes, we did. Yes, what a nuisance.
What a nuisance, yes. Yes, he got in with 8 seconds to go, Paul Merton did, on shambles starting now.
Does anybody here remember Sale of the Century? It was a television programme.
I must thank our audience here for that wonderful cheer you gave for Sale of the Century. And Paul likes to have a go at me on it whenever he possibly can. He got a point for speaking as a whistle went. He's 1 point behind our leader, Peter Jones. And Maria is going to steam forth with the last round, telling us something about stuff and nonsense. And Maria will tell us about it in 60 seconds, starting now.
Stuff and nonsense will probably be sprouting from my mouth for the next possible 10 seconds. Nonsense is quite clear to define. David Meller is handsome and sexy. Obviously, nonsense. Tonight, I will be getting off with the mayor of Loughborough. Again, nonsense. That was last night. Stuff, on the other hand, is slightly more difficult to understand the usage.
But Stephen got in first.
Hesitation.
Yes. Stephen, there are 33 seconds available for you on stuff and nonsense starting now.
A lot of stuff and nonsense things that go on in this world. Painting grass red, for instance, on football pitches or American games things.
Challenge you first, Paul Merton.
Sort of hesitation.
Our sort of hesitation, yes. 25 seconds. Stuff and nonsense with you, Paul Merton, starting now.
Maria told me before the show that it's her proud boast of had sex with every Lord Mayor in the country. She gets on very well with the Lord Mayor of Lincoln. His name's Bobby.
Stephen challenge.
He said Mayor again, though.
Yeah,
didn't the
two
every Lord
Mayor
did the Lord Mayor Bobby, yeah.
14 seconds, Stephen Frost. Stuff and nonsense starting now.
Stuff and nonsense is the name of a cafe in Loughborough where they serve sage and onion and bric-a-brac. You can go and eat there.
Paul Merton challenge.
Well, a cafe that sells bric-a-brac. Stuff and nonsense.
It could be a sideline. I've been at a cafe.
It could be a sideline.
Yeah,
you go into cafes, sometimes they sell flowers, some cafes sell other things as a sideline. I mean, it's not actually deviating from the subject. It could be a cafe that sells bric-a-brac.
So you go in, you have omelette and chips and maybe something for the mantelpiece.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I mean, I haven't seen it, but it is perfectly possible, isn't it?
You're it's not likely to see it.
Why
it's not there.
Are you trying to undermine the position of the chairman completely, Peter?
No, but I know for a fact it isn't there. I scoured the streets in the few hours that I had before.
That's what you were doing. I did wonder, actually. After you told us about those pictures you took down from the telephone kiosk, I was a bit...
Well...
So, Paul, no, I disagree with the challenge. Stephen has another point. He has 8 seconds to carry on with stuff and nonsense starting now.
I did, in fact, order egg and chips, and also a nice little pair of doves made out of porcelain. One was bigger than the other, but it didn't deflect from the...
Peter challenge before that. What was it?
If one was bigger than the other, they weren't a pair.
Peter, as an old friend, I'm delighted you did challenge there. And it's an utterly correct challenge because you got in with half a second to go. And in that half second, you can now win the show.
Really?
Yes. So keep your wits about you. Half a second.
Enough of nonsense, starting now.
Good old Lafra.
So, Stuff and Nonsense brought this edition of Just a Minute to a close, and Stuff and Nonsense is probably the meat and drink of Just a Minute, but we do it in such a way, or at least the panellists do it in such a way, that it entertains you and keeps us going and has done very securely for over 30 years. Isn't it lovely? Let me give you the final points position. I don't say the final score because I know you love them all. Maria McCurlane, who's done so well on her second visit up here to Leicester, and Stephen Frost came just ahead of her, and he was dynamically funny, and Paul Merton, with his great style and panache within Just a Minute, did extraordinarily well as usual. But just a little way out in the lead, with fewer more points than anybody else, was Peter Jones. So he's our winner this week. You come to the showers and you carry all before you. Well done, congratulations. And it remains me to say, on behalf of these four fine exponents of this game, Just a Minute, that's Maria McCurlane, Peter Jones, Paul Merton, and Stephen Frost. We thank them very much. We also, I must thank Helen Williams for keeping the score, helping with the stopwatch, blowing her whistle, and of course our producer, Chris Neal, who directs with such style and panache, Ian Messiter, who has thought of and created this game, which we all love playing. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from our audience here in the Town Hall of Opera, goodbye! Yes. Thank you.